In Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus gives us what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And this was a series of teachings that were very popular in Jesus' ministry. We need not think that this was a one-time sermon, that is, he gave it once and never gave it again. Both Mark and Luke record some of the same teachings that are in the Sermon on the Mount in different contexts. And so this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave constitutes some of the core teaching that Jesus did while he walked on the earth. And this teaching then also tells us the character of the citizen of the kingdom of God. And so I thought we'd go through the Sermon on the Mount and look at it in different parts throughout the year. And we're going to start this morning with looking at the Beatitudes. Several years ago, I did a series on each Beatitude, and so we're not going to look at each one in that detail, but this morning we would just take a look at all of the Beatitudes together and kind of look at their structure and exactly what they are saying about the citizen of God's kingdom. And so let's take a look at these Beatitudes and then let's think about how they might apply to our lives. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Well, there's a lot of material in this, and we're not going to be able to talk about all of it in detail, but we will take a look at it and see three things. First of all, those who are citizens of God's kingdom have, number one, the state of being blessed. We're going to talk about what it means to be blessed. Secondly, they have the attitude of the blessed. And of course, that's each one of the things that are mentioned in these Beatitudes, that is, meek and poor in spirit, hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Those are the attitudes. And then finally, they have the blessing of the blessed. And of course, that's the result that is at the end when we think about these attitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right? And then blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So there's the blessing that's associated with it as well. So let's look at these three points then in reference to these Beatitudes. First of all, we're going to look at the state of being blessed. You know, the word blessed in this context, blessed are the, you know, that blessed word is the Greek word makarios. And it means happy or content or state of being that is beyond care, labor, and death. The ancient Greeks often used the word makarios in songs of victory, because, you know, it was at that time that they felt the most carefree and the most at ease from all of the things that happened in the world. And so this idea or this notion of being happy or blessed or being beyond care, labor, and death, beyond that, that's the idea that is found within this particular word. In the Bible, we see that blessedness is an attribute of God, that God is blessed. Romans 1 and verse 25 talks about the Creator who is blessed forever. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 31 says, "The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever." And in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, "Which in his own times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." So both God and Jesus are characterized as being blessed. And it has reference to what we talked about earlier. They're in a state of happiness, in a state where they are beyond care, labor, and death. And that's what God wants for us as well, to be blessed in that way. And Jesus' Beatitudes then focus us upon the inward and the heavenly. Because it isn't in trying to accumulate all the things in the world or make oneself something into what one is not, or the pursuits that occur external to our hearts that make us blessed, but how we view the world around us. What is going on inside? That is what makes us blessed. And you see, that's what these Beatitudes are about. What is going on in our hearts? Blessedness expresses an intrinsic contentment. It's not dependent upon external things. You know, that's how little children are, right? They're not happy unless they get their favorite toy or unless they have their favorite meal or something like that, right? And they're children. They haven't grown up. But grown-ups understand, and especially spiritual adults understand, that happiness does not depend upon external conditions. Now think about this in reference to Acts 20 verse 35, where Jesus says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And why would he say that? Because it's not in getting things that we find blessedness, but rather in giving to others. And Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us that those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And remember, Abraham had a relationship with God that showed complete loyalty, trust, and dependence on God. And he was tested multiple times. And he came through those tests showing that this was the kind of faith that created a situation where he could be blessed. Now, when we think about what Jewish wisdom says and the people of Jesus' day, and thinking about that, one Jewish proverb said this: "Call no man blessed before his death." And Jesus is contradicting that proverb by saying, you are blessed if you have these attributes within your life. And in doing that, he is basically telling us that we can experience blessedness even before we are then transported to another state of being. And so blessedness is the state of a person in the kingdom of God, or at least it's supposed to be. Now, a lot of times we let things into our life that affect our blessedness, right? That change us from a state of being blessed to a state of being worried or discontent or concerned or angry or hateful or something like that. And you see, that changes our life so that we're no longer in that state of being blessed. But basically what Jesus is saying is that you can be in that state if you understand his teachings. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And you see, this is the foundation for that mindset and for that attitude. Because if we recognize that our sins are forgiven, the things that create within us the greatest amount of stress, the greatest amount of displeasure with self, the greatest amount of worry and concern and care for things, our sins, but we realize they've been forgiven and that we have this wonderful relationship with God now, and we are then passing on that forgiveness to others as well, that will help us to stay in this state of blessedness. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. And of course, we've got to listen to God. We've got to hear what he says and make application of it within our life in order to have this blessed state. And why is that? Because sin wars against us. Sin is constantly seeking to make inroads into our life and fight us in this regard. Blessedness is the state of a person in the kingdom of God because of forgiveness of sins, because the people of the kingdom of God are those who are hearing the word of God and keeping it. And so they are blessed. But then also, blessedness sees the present by the future. So we don't reckon or we don't count the trials and troubles of this life as things that are going to affect us forever. Rather, instead, we look at the great promises that God has made for us and transfer those to the present. Look at what Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to usward. Now that's a great comfort for those who will let it comfort them in times of difficulty, understanding that the suffering that I'm going through right now in the present is going to be erased, more or less, by the glory that shall be revealed to us. Our light affliction, Paul calls it, which is for the moment. Notice it's momentary. It's just fleeting. It's passing. Works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. And so, when we think about these Beatitudes, first of all, it is related to the idea of being blessed, the state of being blessed. But then secondly, there is the attitude of the blessed. And when we think about the attitude of the blessed, we think about these Beatitudes, we see things that we are supposed to be, right? They are Beatitudes. Now, that's really not what the word Beatitude means, per se. It's really means blessedness, but it's the idea of our adopting these attitudes that Jesus has stated here in this text. So each statement represents a mindset of those in the kingdom of God. They are what? They're poor in spirit. They're mournful. They're meek. They're hungry and thirsty for righteousness. They're merciful. They're pure in heart. They're peaceful and they're persecuted, as we're going to see. And so as we think about these attitudes, some of them are paradoxical in nature. That is, to be poor in spirit, to be poor is to have something, you know, as opposed to not have something, which most people think about being poor as not having something, right? But to be poor in spirit is to have the kingdom of heaven. To mourn is to be comforted. To be meek is to inherit the earth. We don't normally think about the meek having everything, right? They have nothing, but it's to have everything. To be hungry and thirsty is to be filled. To be merciful is to receive mercy. To be persecuted is to have a reason to rejoice. These are seemingly paradoxical, but the paradoxical nature of these attitudes are that God knows best how to order our lives. And so he is telling us, if you will adopt these attitudes, even though from your perspective as a person living in a body that has desires and wants things and tries to build things up and protect yourself from a whole host of things that these attitudes seem to be in conflict with, what God is saying is this, that if you will have these attitudes, then you will actually achieve what you're trying to achieve. But it won't be through your power or strength, it'll be through God. And so the attitudes of the blessed, some are paradoxical, but others reflect more of an outcome. To be pure in heart, for example, is to be of a character to see God. We know that God is wholly pure. To be a peacemaker is to be a child of God, right? And we know that God loves everyone. He seeks to make peace with everyone. And so that's what we want to be as well, peacemakers. Well, as we look at each one of these attitudes, we think about the idea that, you know, this teaching is not new, that Jesus received much of this teaching from what was taught in the Old Testament. And I want to share some of these things with you because a lot of times people will think that Jesus' teaching is brand new, that it's never been taught before, but that's not the case. Instead, what we see is Jesus taking passages from the Old Testament that normally are not focused upon and centering on those as what it means to be a citizen of God's kingdom. So look, for example, at blessed are the poor in spirit. Now think about Isaiah 66 and verses 1 and 2 in reference to that, where the Lord says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? That is, you know, think about the poor in spirit. They will what? Inherit the kingdom of God, right? Now, notice the Lord here through Isaiah is speaking about his throne and the earth and the house of his. And he says, for all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and contrite of spirit. Now there's our expression, poor of spirit, right there. Who trembles at my word. So that's what poor in spirit is. It's talking about those who would have a relationship with God, to be of his kingdom, to be of his house, to be in relationship to him who is the king, poor in spirit. Think about those that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Psalm 126 in verses 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, that beatitude, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted, directly relates to what these verses in Psalm 126 are teaching. Think about, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And that's an exact quote from Psalm 37 and verse 11. And the rest of it says, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So here's another teaching that Jesus is giving from the Psalms. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Isaiah 49 and verse 10. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water he will guide them. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Psalm 18 and verse 25. With the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man you will show yourself blameless. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. So that is talking about who's going to see God, right? It's those who have the pure heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Psalm 34, 12 through 14. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And those who are peacemakers then will be called the sons of God. Blessed are the persecuted. You know, in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes that enduring persecution is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so we have the attitudes of the blessed. But then finally, we have the blessing of the blessed. That is, what is the result? How are these who have these attitudes going to be blessed? Well, the blessed are already content, but they receive more, not from desire, but from their station, all right? From being in this place they are at with the attitude that they have, they then receive these other blessings. And it's not because they are actively pursuing them per se, right? They're not out there fighting for this or fighting for that. They're just concerned about what their attitude is, what their spirit is, what their mindset is, and they're focusing on that and they're pursuing that. And then God gives them these things as a result of their trying to work on self mainly. All right, so let's think about these blessings. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And these blessings then concern the future of the kingdom. And so we're going to be looking at some New Testament verses that relate then to these blessings. Think about Matthew 16 verses 18 through 19, where Jesus says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The keys of the kingdom of heaven were given, you know, to Peter so that then people could enter in into God's kingdom. And what is that kingdom? It is the church. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Think about the comforted. "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted." 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." And so there is great comfort as a result of mourning and recognizing that we are in God's kingdom. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." You know, when we think about being in the kingdom of God, citizens of the kingdom of God, we have all things as God wants us to have them. But notice what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 3, 21 through 23. "Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours," whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, notice this, "or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ and Christ is God's." So think about those relationships and how we have all things. And I can appreciate everything that is in this world. It belongs to me as it belongs to God and Christ. Why? Because I am part of the family of God. But it is, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." John 6 and verse 35. And so what Jesus is saying here is that he will supply us with all of our spiritual needs if we hunger and thirst for righteousness. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy." 1 Peter 2 and verse 10, "They will have mercy who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And so we have mercy through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And so they will see God. "They will be called the children of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him." 1 John 3 and verse 1. And so being the children of God results from our being peacemakers. And the kingdom of heaven and rejoicing is what we receive when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18 says, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Philippians 4 and verse 4. And so there is the blessing of the blessed. Those who are citizens of God's kingdom have, first of all, blessedness, the state of being blessed. Secondly, they have the attitude of the blessed. And finally, they have the blessing of the blessed. And as you study through these Beatitudes, you can see each one of those things as it then pertains to us individually as citizens of God's kingdom. Let's strive within our life to focus on those attitudes. Not allow the pressures of the external world to affect us so much, but rather control what is on the inside by developing these attitudes within us and focusing on them and letting them then sway our thoughts and our minds and our decisions and how we live our lives. I promise you that if you will focus on these attitudes and you will live your life in that way, you will experience great peace, joy, and love. And focus less on things that come from the outside, more on things that come from the inside as they are being informed by these Beatitudes, and we will have such a blessed life. And we have a blessed life right now. And a lot of times we just get distracted from that because of all the things that are happening around us in the world. But we are a blessed people, and we need to remember that each and every day. Do you want to have the attitudes that come with being a citizen of God's kingdom? Well, maybe you need to become a citizen of that kingdom this morning through hearing the word of God and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You then can come into the kingdom of God. We are born into the kingdom of God by water and by the Spirit, and by the word of God and by baptism. And so maybe you need to become a child of the kingdom today so that you can start developing these attitudes within your life. You will not be able to do it outside of God's kingdom, I promise you, because there will be too many things conflicting with your desires. And then you will find yourself not in the state of being blessed, not having the attitude of the blessed, and not having the blessing of the blessed. But if you will give yourself to the Lord, be a member of His kingdom, adopt these wonderful practices that God wants us to practice within our life, then you will experience great peace and joy and love. And if you would like to respond to the invitation this morning, you can do so right now while together we stand and while we sing.